May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
I have always, ever since I was a small child, I've loved Palm Sunday. I loved the pageantry of the procession. I was captivated by the woody sort of earthy smell of the yellow and green palms. And I loved how when you swung them, they flowed and they waved. And I loved that church, which had been so quiet and so solemn for all of the days of Lent, came alive. The music was loud and so glorious and so familiar that even a non-singer like me would sing out, just as we did this morning, "All glory, laud, and honor." In my head, it is always sunny and it's always light-filled on Palm Sunday. Now, for me, this story was all about the parade, that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I probably always envisioned myself in that crowd of people watching and waving and shouting. And though there are some quite wise scholars who will tell you that this parade might have been a smallish affair with just a handful of disciples and one man on top of a donkey, it's always seemed to me that it must have been more like we heard in the scriptures and more like we heard in the palm, noisy, crowded, and chaotic. There must have been great crowds and lots of shouting and joy. Joy so great that we hear in Luke that the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice. It must have been quite something. And for the disciples, this day must have been a turning point. They had been traveling for a long time, and it was on this journey that they had seen Jesus teaching. And they had seen him perform a number of miracles. They'd seen him raise people from the dead. They'd seen him cast out devils and cure the leper. And they'd seen him give sight to the blind. These were heady times, but they were also uncertain times. And right there, in the midst of it, were a group of followers who had risked a lot, who, as Peter tells us, have left all to follow Jesus. Left all. Left everything and followed Jesus. That's quite a thing. It had been, and no doubt, was still hard work being a disciple. But there, as Jesus and the disciples were descending the Mount of Olives, in sight of Jerusalem and in sight of the end of their journey, it's different. It's a time to acknowledge and to celebrate the King, their King, the one who has come in the name of the Lord. And is it surprising that having seen all those wondrous miracles, and even having acquired the donkey just where and how Jesus said it would be, and now that they're finally entering into Jerusalem, their destination, is it surprising that these disciples would give voice to their joy? We heard that garments and palms were spread before Jesus and the donkey. People shouted, palms waved, and the disciples began to praise God with a loud voice. It was joyful, and it was hopeful. And why not? Now, you know, despite this day, despite Palm Sunday being one of my top 10 festivals, it was always a day that, in the midst of the celebration, made me feel a bit edgy. Within all that light and all that music, there was something heavy, something looming, and something serious. Let's look back at the gospel reading we heard everyone read. What does Luke tell us was going on? Well, first of all, there seems to be this odd contrast of Jesus riding in on a small donkey. Someone so great riding in on something so ordinary. On first glance, it hardly seems a fitting entrance for the King of Kings. But you know, that didn't bother me so much. Nor did it even bother me that Jesus knew just when and where to get the donkey, or that the owners would so willingly give it up. No, what really worried me was the noisy public entrance. It seemed dangerous, perhaps even foolhardy. Didn't the disciples know what was going to happen? Wasn't this just antagonizing the officials? Look at the Pharisees demanding that Jesus stop his disciples. And what about all of those people who saw Jesus not as a hope, but as a threat? Didn't they know? Well, of course, the answer is they didn't know. The disciples didn't know all that lay ahead. Yeah, they absolutely had been told on more than one occasion. And in fact, just before our gospel reading begins, Luke tells us quite clearly that Jesus has taken aside his disciples and he's spoken to them, saying that all things that are written by the prophets will come true. More than that, Jesus actually told them quite specifically what would happen, that he would be mocked and scourged and put to death. Yet they didn't know. As Luke says, they understood none of these things. They neither knew of his death nor of his rising again. For these disciples, these events were unfolding. They were happening in real time. So following Jesus meant following in faith, following without knowing, or following without fully understanding the end of the story. But we know some of how the story ends. We know and we remember both the death and the resurrection. And of course, most importantly, Jesus knew how the story would end. Jesus also knew that the prophecy had to be fulfilled. He knew that if he were to stop his followers, the very rocks would cry out. All of creation would sing. And Jesus knew that his part of the story was to follow and to take hold of events, that he must do all of this knowing what lay ahead. Now, Jesus, of course, knew the end of the story, but he also knew that the way there would be hard, inconceivably hard. Yes, he was the Son of God, but there was no easy out for him. This was Jesus in human form, and that meant his sufferings, both in body and spirit, were very human. It was going to be painful and terrifying and heartbreaking. And it all began and ended when he reached Jerusalem and the beginning of the end of his earthly journey. So what is this story all about? Well, for us as 21st century Christians, this Palm Sunday is a glorious, light-filled day that comes at the end of our Lenten journey. But it's also that moment when, in the midst of our joy and celebration, that we know that almost immediately we will have to confront the pain and the darkness of the cross. Now, for the disciples, who on that day could only see a little bit ahead, it seemed to be an occasion of hope. And where I might have agreed wholeheartedly that this story was best described about hope, I also think it's a bit about something else. I think it's all about grace. It's about the grace that comes from following Jesus, about believing in and having faith, whether it's as a first century disciple or as 21st century followers. It's about the grace that comes from overcoming great tragedy with great joy, overcoming doubt with faith. And most importantly, it's the grace that comes out of the most singular act of love, that Jesus Christ takes on our sins for our redemption. For us, he laments, he weeps, he cares for, and ultimately, he was crucified for us so that we might be saved. And what are the lessons for us as modern Christians sitting here today with the bulk of our Lenten journey over, but facing that week of weeks? Well, I think there are lessons of faith and discipleship, to be sure. Like those early disciples, there is grace in our choosing to walk beside Christ, choosing to see and choosing to believe. In this coming week, in that most sacred and difficult part of our journey with Christ towards the cross, let us pray for grace. And let us return to the collect for today and ask for faith that we may be beside Jesus on the way to the cross, which is the path to glory. Amen.